G'day everyone, Gus Warland here with Wendell Saylor and Jude Bolton, and this is the podcast Extra Break, and today we're talking about coaching styles. What gets the best out of a team or an individual? Is it tough love or is it putting your arm around it? So I wanted to ask you boys, you've both had some magnificent coaches over the years. I'll start with you, Jude. You've had different coaches doing different things. So what was best for you and what can you tell us about the arm around as well as the shout and the scream?
Yeah, for me, I played underneath Rodney Eed, and then I played under Paul Roos and John Longmire with my three coaches, and very different coaching styles, all of them. But I think I did relish a little bit of the tough love, and I didn't mind, you know, that being barreled by the coach to say, we need you today, you've been shit house, you know, lift your game.
And so this is a quarter time or half time,
yeah,
sort of thing.
And right. I think I would sort of spur into action and go, you know what, I need to give something here. But it is a different era now. Like, you can see now some of those coaching styles where you're just ranting and raving and driving guys harder and harder. Sometimes it just falls on deaf ears, and you don't want to lose the players in those moments, but I feel that it needs to be part of the armory of a good coach. I always look back at Paul Roos, who is that guy who could, you know, great communicator and, you know, bring guys together, but he did have it. He had that one wood there if he needed to, you know, and you knew that he was going to rip you, and you wanted to go out and play for him after that. So
was Rodney Eed the bloke that led with the one wood?
Rodney Eed had the one wood, and then he'd come out with the three wood and probably just take the rescue off the grass as
well. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
He would lace into you. What about you? What are you
doing? Oh, look, I was lucky to have a couple of really good coaches. I think at the Reds I had four coaches in 4 years. It wasn't a great time with the Queensland Reds, but for me, Eddie Jones was really, really good coach. He was a really good
look. Was he your only coach at the Wallabies?
Yes, yes. But what he was is a good man manager, but also he was a really good tactician as well. But like, I'd sit at the front of the bus and he'd go to me and go, mate, did you watch the Panthers last night? He goes, mate, what about, you know, so-and-so Scott Sattler down that left-hand side? And he just loves watching all sports. So he'd watch AFL and he goes, mate, did you see Buddy Franklin kick a couple of goals and that? And he goes, he's a good athlete. He could make it. And so he's always thinking outside, you know, outside the square. And
so it made you feel like friendly with him because
he
talked about things that you'd be happy with.
Yeah, but he's a sports fan. So he gets to know what makes you happy. And then he'll go, how was the golf on the weekend, you know? Did you beat Matty Rogers? And he was good on the sledge. He was really good. Eddie Jones, one of the best sledges in and around the games ever seen.
Apparently, he had a sledge this week, didn't he? Talking about a rugby union player having to be fit.
Yeah, the fullback. Yeah, fit. Yeah, man, the boys are going, mate.
do you reckon he was taking the mickey on that?
No, I don't know where Eddie's head was at. But I love Eddie. And look, he sprayed me a couple of times. I played, when I played over at Ireland, it was Lansdowne Road. It was about 4 degrees, and I'd seen David Campese, I've seen Stephen Larkham wear the long jersey. So for me, I'm thinking, mate, long jersey, I'll look good. Mate, I'm thinking gloves. It was like, you know, 4 or 5
degrees. Gloves as well?
Yeah, I went to gloves as well.
Okay,
let me tell you, the rain, it was old school Lansdowne Road, the rain came up past my ankles. Okay, that day, I had 4 carries, two drop balls, 3 tackles, 1 missed tackle, didn't get much involved.
Liability.
Anyway, yeah.
Liability.
So as I sit in the room, he comes over to me. There's about 6 of the boys, and he goes, long sleeve jersey. He goes, if I ever effing see you wear a long sleeve jersey again, this will be the last time you wear a gold jersey for Australia. And I said, look, it wasn't the jersey's fault. No, but he goes, your mindset, mate, you knew it was going to be cold. You wore the long sleeve. So, you know, because I used to like the weather.
You checked out before the game started.
When you got arms like that, you want to show them off.
But I'm thinking some of my heroes who I've watched play over these, you know, in the Grand Slams, and that the Ella brothers all wearing the long sleeve. So
did Campo ever wear a long sleeve?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So I'm thinking, mate, I've got the talent enough to do it, but he was right. My mindset, it wasn't there. I was, as Jude said, I checked out. I was going, this is going to be a cold day. I'll just get through the game and then get out and have a few pints.
Were you ever scared to go into the sheds? Because it was interesting hearing from Brandon Smith talk about, he was after the Storm loss the other night. He was like, I actually don't want to go in and see Craig Bellamy.
He was happy to do it. He did every interview, radio, TV.
He was actually scared. Were you scared about going to see Wayne Bennett at times?
Mate, Wayne, I mean, Eddie made me scared, but Wayne was the worst because Wayne would, no, he knew what would get to me. So when Wayne would talk and that, we'd have rules in place. He knows for me the best thing. It's like this show. Don't let me overthink things. Just let me rock up and do what I do. Bring the X factor, okay?
Clear all the distractions. Let you focus on that.
And just let me concentrate. You know what I'm on. So if I had a good week and he'd know. So if I had a bad week, he would pull me up and he'd go, on the footy show Thursday night, did a few promos. It was all about you this week, eh? He goes, I could tell by the football that you played today. He goes, you weren't even in the first half. Why did I bother picking you today? He goes, you know what's happening next week? And he goes, no, he goes, you're doing extras, and I'll give you a little tip. If you throwing up a shit game like that again, he goes, let me tell you, you'll be sitting on the bench week after. So come Monday, my mind said, all right, yo, I do the extras. I say, look, you can kick a few bombs, bit more defence, put that work in. And that's what respect Wayne and I have, I think, you know.
He knew how to spark and trigger you.
And it put me on show in front of the boys. So he'd go to Gordy. Gordy would be like working his ass off at halftime. And mate, Gordy, a couple of good runs there. Shane Webke there, he goes, mate, that hit you put on Rodney Howe, that was unbelievable. But I need to take a few more tough carries. Then there'd be me and Lockie. He'd look at Lockie and he goes, mate, keep up with the good work. He would give me the silent treatment. Oh yeah.
Is that bad for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you reckon?
Dell wants Dell love.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what does that mean in his mindset for you then? Is that then going to piss you off or is it going to make you happy?
It's going to piss me off, but it shows me that he's not happy with my first half. Okay. So for me, it's a bit like what happened halftime there with Melbourne. Craig Bellamy would have sprayed a few blokes. Melbourne went to the next level.
Yeah.
The Sharks couldn't go with him. So I'd go, He's not talking to me. That little man in my head, okay, I'll show him. And then I'd go out there and then he'd go up to game and he goes, because I didn't have to say anything to you halftime, did I? I said no. And he goes, see that second half? That's what I expect from you. And I said, you're right. Mate, we'll have a chat about this.
Can I ask both you blokes who have played at the highest level for a long period of time, does it matter your ability when it comes to effort? With coaches, do they expect more from the better players? Do they expect a higher amount of effort and skill factor, or is it a team thing that they're trying to do?
It's a team thing. It's what you can bring to a team. So someone like Darren Lockyer, to Jamie Soward, to Gordon Tallis, to someone like Carmichael Hunt, we're all going to be different personalities. But it's, you know what it is? It's like, say, you know, if you're making a cake, it's the ingredients that bring it together. Mm. And then
one without the other won't work.
That's exactly right.
For me, I think they expect you to carry the standards. And I talk about standards a lot because I'll never forget John Longmire coming in, and he was our coach sitting under Paul Ruse at one stage. And we'd had a bad loss. We'd just been playing pretty poorly. And we each, some of the leaders, all got given a DVD with standards written on it. And I remember just going, and he goes, go and watch this. Anyway, basically they'd cut all the shit efforts from the last game and just...
Your shit efforts?
Of all just the main leaders.
Oh, right.
You know, not chasing. Yeah, just giving up.
1%.
And it just drove us so hard to say.
So you all got the same video showing how poor you were.
How poor we were. Like, they just cut all these little ones where you just go, we're not up to it. We're not up to it. And we're leading from the front in a poor way and having a bad influence on them. So they just expect more in that sense to be that gel, as Dale said.
Yeah, and it's the easy part is when everyone's playing well, everything's going good. You know, when you're having a bad day and then you can't get back into your rhythm. It's like a golfer when he's, you know, it's like Adam Scott, you know, a couple weeks ago, he misses a 4-foot putt because he's thinking in his head, he goes, okay, you know, it's $1 million putt this, but, you know, under pressure. Mm. So Wayne was big on the process. And then I remember when we won one of the grand finals, and mate, of course, this will shock you, but day two, day three, I'm just launching. I'm feeling pretty good. I've got the shirt off in City Rowers, and I'm saddling off. And we'll talk about this. And I saddled up to Wayne, and I said, Wayne, you must get an ego from what these guys you coach. I know, because, mate, it's hard to coach a team. You can have the best players, but you've got to bring those egos together. Like, you know, Gordy's got an ego. Lockie's got not a big ego, but he's got a solid ego. You've got me. You've got, you know, blokes want more money. And I said, you must be very proud of, you know, of what you've, you know, done here at the Broncos, you know. And he goes, well, mate, he looks at me, and he knows like a lot of things. He's just got to wait for me to listen, to actually concentrate. And so, and I'm obviously drinking vodka Red Bull day two, day three, at about midday, shirt off at City Rollers.
It's good to stay hydrated.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. He looks at me and he goes, Del, you know, in his Clint Eastwood voice as he does, he gives me the look and he goes, Del, what my job is as a coach and a mentor is what sort of men you become when you play football. He goes, football's the easy part because this is what you guys know, but it's about what you do off the field. It's about what you do when you finish your football careers. And to this day, hand on heart, he always checks in with me. I love the bloke. And if it wasn't for Wayne Bennett, I wouldn't, and my mum and dad, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And that's why I always thank Wayne Bennett. And anyone that's got anything ill to say about Wayne Bennett, you don't know the real Wayne Bennett.
Yeah.
So it comes back to the original question around tough love.
And he doesn't let us, by the way, he doesn't let us know.
Yes,
like,
that's right.
He doesn't want blokes like me and normal fans to know.
But Matty Johns
cares about you.
Yeah, exactly. But Matty Johns will tell you. That's why Matty Johns got such a good rapport with coaches and stuff.
But it comes down back to the original question around tough love and do you want a coach to have that sort of style? And I think I absolutely agree that they need that element because that's what builds the rapport, that builds the connection, but also keep you accountable.
So you need a combo of the two, the arm around at the right. So it's really man management more than anything.
Like a parent not being just purely a best friend of someone. Right. It's like, I'm there to give you some
advice
and boundaries and set.
From my experience, I believe this.
Yes. Yeah. And look at Trent Robinson. Can I just say this? Every time you think the Roosters are going to fall over, mate, they keep finding something. The other night, like, I just expected Canberra to do something there.
Well, especially with that, their season on the line.
I know. Jerry Hargraves gets ruled out. Kieran comes in, plays a game of his life. Drew Hutchison, who I've coached as a junior.
Brilliant.
Drew's a good player, but no one's ever backed him. Trent Robinson has got the Midas touch. And I'm telling you now, and we all know this, I'm not going to be Captain Obvious, we know that if there wasn't that many injuries and retirements, that the Roosters would be right into this. And they've been up for so long. And every time you speak to Trent Robinson, he's got knowledge, and you can just see why he sets a standard as a coach and also as a person, because that's what he expects of you, because he gives it to you.
Absolutely. His calmness. You know what I love about Robbo is the fact that he was with Joey at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, when he got taken out by Latrell and he was in hospital. Yeah. At 3 a.m. by his bedside was his coach.
Yes.
Amazing. You know, and then I heard another thing during the week was Dylan Napple turned up. Yeah. Hear about this? Turned up with a bucket of KFC.
Yeah.
And, of course, he can't have any solid foods, Joey.
Yeah. Yes.
So they microwaved some nuggets and blended in with a bit of mash and the gravy so he could have a little bit of food whilst Napple was sitting there crunching on the old crispy KFC.
Nice. How good. Like, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's not just about coaching. It's they're mentors, but they're like your father. And that's the way I see Wayne Bennett. So I'll leave you on this note. When my dad passed away, and we like to have fun on this podcast and stuff, and when my dad passed away, you probably realize football gives you so much, but football gave me so much because it made my dad happy. It made me happy too. Don't worry. I love scoring tries and I love, you know, getting all those reps.
Being the best of all time and everything.
That'd be
fun.
I love the drink cards at City Rolls, but for me, my dad was such a big part of my career. When I played against
was he a good footballer, your dad?
No, he wasn't. He was just a dad. He loved fishing. He boxed a little bit, but it was more about.
So he wasn't an athletic man?
No, he wasn't. He died at 51. And so Wayne Bennett had come to my dad's funeral, and then we're playing the Northern Eagles in Gosford. So him and Alf made the trip. They came up, and Gordon Tallis, you know, they're all good mates. And then when I played the game, it was an out-of-body experience, and I was lucky enough to score 2 tries that day, and I just felt like my dad was sort of on my shoulder. And as I walked into the Central Coast, the stadium there, I walked underneath and sat in the corner, and all the emotion just poured out because I was trying to be strong for mum. And as I was hunched over and I started crying, I could hear like these footsteps like coming in, and this big claw, like this big, grasshopper claw. I have a man, he goes, mate, your dad will be very proud of what you did tonight and very proud of the man that you are. Well done, big man. We love you.
Amazing.
That's Wayne Bennett at tea, and I was crying.
You got glassy eyes right now thinking about that.
Yeah, because because sometimes you think you're just a number when you're playing sport, and sometimes not certain codes, but sometimes you sort of forget that people forget the human element, and that's why with social media, people need to be careful what they post, because I'm a bit of a feeler. I think you guys have seen, like, mate, I know Latrell Mitchell, he's copped a few things and that. And what Latrell's copped now, I've copped the same. You know, I've been, you know, you play a good game and someone like threatens you over social media saying, mate, I'd love to have a day with you and I'd pull a gun on you and this and that. And you go, mate, oh, you're such a hero, mate. Like, and you got to let it slide. Kids these days too, they can't let it slide because they're so used to fighting back, you know?
I just love hearing that story though.
Yeah, me too.
Because people only see sometimes the press conferences and he's abrasive and it's just like.
It's theatre for him. He knows what he's doing.
He's been that experienced. Yeah. He just knows. Yeah. So
when you look at rugby league at the moment, you've got Bellamy, Robbo and Wayne. They're the three absolutely top of the tree. Who are the top of the tree that you would say in AFL? Because there's a few shuffling of the seats and stuff at the moment, isn't there? And a few good coaches not even got a job at the moment.
Clarko's basically said he's going to sit out for 2022.
But he could take that Carlton job and take a Motza right now, right?
But he needs a break. And they've got a reasonable list. Like,
do you reckon he needs a break? Do you reckon he's just being smart? He's sitting there just waiting?
I think he's getting paid out by
the Hawks for doing nothing.
Yeah, but that's good. He needs a break, mate. They've been up for so long. You know this. You're a Hawks man.
Being a Hawks fan, I mean, but I was shattered that we lost him.
I really love what Fagan's done up at Brisbane. He's been fantastic. Mm. Chris Scott down at Geelong. I mean, they're going into their fifth prelim in 6 years. So just phenomenal consistency.
Richmond this year dropped off, but is that a coaching thing?
They've been up for so long. They'll bounce back. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I'm just like you guys listening. I'm a sports fan. Listen to Jude and Wendell talk like that. I'm just privileged to be in the same room as you guys. And what I love about it is that you're so open and honest about the stuff that you've done, good and bad. And I think that's what our listeners love as well. So.
But we're all fans of the game, whatever code it is, or, you know, we love it. That's just that sport for you, but also it's entertainment. That's why people like me and Hugh Jackman are in the industry as well.
The Dead Set Legends, the show is between 10 and 12 every Saturday morning on Triple M 104.9. I love this little podcast, Extra Break. Thanks a lot, boys, and we'll talk to you guys next week.